746, please.
Authorized purchase of certain real property located at 5827 Northeast Prescott Street at a price and closing costs not to exceed $558,000 to develop new affordable housing.
Colleagues, this is
Commissioner Fish. Do you want 747 read in connection with this? As it says 15 minutes for both.
Yeah, let's do that. Good call. Michelle, is there any reason why I shouldn't read 747? Let's go ahead and read 747 as well. Thanks, Commissioner Fish.
Authorize Portland Housing Bureau to assume certain contracts that will be assigned to the Housing Bureau in connection with acquisition of real property located at 5827 Northeast Prescott Street.
So, colleagues, this is yet another property associated with the Portland Housing Bond. The housing bond promised 1,300 units of permanently affordable housing, and it promised that that would be created within a 5 to 7 year time frame of passage. In the first year and a half, we have approximately half of the promised units either already purchased or in process in both new developments and acquisitions of existing buildings. This acquisition represents the fourth project identified under the housing bond. The Portland Housing Bureau is excited to bring this ordinance before the council today as another step towards meeting the goals of the housing bond. The acquisition of this property will create 50 to 75 new units of affordable housing in the Cully neighborhood, a neighborhood on the front lines of gentrification and displacement. Future development of this property will create an additional family-sized units for households earning 0 to 30% AMI, as well as providing more supportive housing units to the city in coordination with the Joint Office of Homeless Services. And just colloquially, 0 to 30%, that is housing with support services for the people we are seeing on the streets, people who are chronically homeless, people who are in crisis. This not only allows them access to housing that they can afford and be successful in, it will also provide opportunities for services. PHB and its partner, Home Forward, will begin planning for programming and services for this property by the end of this year, the end of 2018, which will inform future development goals. With that, I'll pass it over to Housing Director Shannon Callahan. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Commissioners. I am Shannon Callahan from the Portland Housing Bureau. And as the Mayor said, we are here today with the fourth identified Portland Housing Bond property and our second property acquired for new development. This property is located in the Cully neighborhood, and today I am joined by one of our five Bond Oversight Committee members, Todd Struble of Apano, the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon. And
by the way, I'm not saying he's the best committee member, but I think he was my appointee.
I believe he was indeed your appointee.
Thank you very much.
And Cameron Harrington, a member of the Portland Housing Advisory Commission and of Living Cully. Just for a little bit of grounding about the Portland Housing Bond's production and policy goals, we are seeking to create or acquire 1,300 permanently affordable homes, 600 of which, as the mayor indicated, will be deeply affordable, 300 of which will be set aside for supportive housing, and 650 of which will be sized for families, two bedrooms or even larger. Under the housing bond, we are seeking to create new housing as well as prevent displacement. That's why we're both investing in properties for new development as well as acquiring existing buildings. We are prioritizing communities of color, families, and households facing homelessness or displacement. We are investing in citywide, yeah, in areas of high opportunity and areas at high risk of gentrification. As the mayor said, we are particularly excited about the opportunity to purchase this property in the Cully neighborhood, an area of rich diversity and a strong sense of community, and unfortunately also with a high risk of gentrification. This is one of the target neighborhoods that we specifically sought out and are very pleased that we were able to acquire this property. This particular property is being purchased for $50,000. It can hold as many as
500.
Oh, I'm sorry, 50,000. Wow, that's a really good deal.
Well done. Well done.
I don't know if the owner knew that or not. $500,000, which is still a very, very good price for this property. It can be developed for as many as 75 units, but at the present moment, we're counting between 50 and 75 because we don't know the mix of the bedroom size or family size until we start to work first with our bond oversight community and with our community in general. If you're not familiar with this property, it is located on numerous transit lines and in close proximity to a grocery store, which is a huge amenity for families who may be transit dependent as they look to move into a new neighborhood. As a reminder, for all bond acquisitions, they are put through an analysis of our adopted policy framework. We assess the property or buildings with on-site site visits, and then we have a formal review process as adopted by our bond oversight committee before we make a formal offer to purchase. This particular property began that process last December. We moved through a formal review committee in January, started our due diligence, and are now here before you to ask for your approval on the purchase of the property. And just before I turn it over to Todd, I'd like to just show you a brief map of the four identified properties. This property, if approved, would join a property in East Portland we just purchased a few weeks ago, and also our 30th and Powell new development site, which we're beginning pre-development activities on presently, and then, of course, our first bond purchase in Northeast Portland, the 263-unit Ellington Apartments. And with that, I'll turn it over to Todd.
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Todd Strubel, and I serve on the Housing Bond Oversight Committee. In that role, our goal is to hold PHB accountable to the stakeholder advisory committee that created a framework for this bond. With that in mind, we believe this project absolutely follows that framework. It's a good investment, it's a wise long-term investment, and we know that it's going to be supporting the folks that are experiencing homelessness and families that are really vulnerable to displacement. So with that, I think it's an excellent investment. And I'd also just like to also point out that it's in an area where the city has focused resources. It's close to a neighborhood prosperity initiative, and there's many nonprofit organizations that are doing work on the ground that will continue to support this investment as it goes forward. So with that, I'd like to say thank you and endorse this. Thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. Thank you for having me this morning. My name is Cameron Harrington. I'm here speaking on behalf of the Living Cully Partners and to express our support for this acquisition. As you've heard, this property is in an excellent location in one of the most diverse neighborhoods in the state of Oregon. It's across the street from a full-service grocery store. It's within easy walking distance of two elementary schools, of the new Cunnamuxed Park that opened a couple of years ago. It has easy transit access, so it's a great location for families and other low-income folks who are in need of stable, affordable homes. I wanted to share a few words about our involvement in the bond and some experiences we've had in the Cully neighborhood. So Living Cully organizes a grassroots group called the Cully Housing Action Team that knocked on over 1,100 doors in our neighborhood to support the bond campaign in 2016. And so we were very gratified that voters approved these funds, and then we're excited that this is resulting in new affordable homes in our neighborhood. As part of that campaign in 2016, a number of families participated in door knocking who lived at the Normandy Apartments in Cully on Northeast Killingsworth, which those families lost their homes last year when an investor purchased the building and doubled their rents. But five of those families were able to find stable, affordable homes at the Ellington apartment building, which was the first bond acquisition. And so I thought that was an important connection to make here between folks who are involved in grassroots affordable housing advocacy on the ground, who themselves are facing a crisis in their own housing, and this bond has directly supported them in finding permanent, stable, affordable homes. But that does lead me to note that the bond and all of the acquisitions that are being made with it are, as I know you have all noted, are one piece of the affordable housing puzzle in Portland. And so building on this momentum in the Cully neighborhood, we're excited that the manufactured housing park zoning proposal is coming to council very soon, which will prevent the displacement of over 3,000 households in the city, which is more than twice as many as will be served by the bond itself. So those two things going hand in hand make a lot of sense. We encourage you to take up a vote on that zoning proposal as soon as possible so that more property owners of manufactured housing parks do not file permits to redevelop before the zone is changed. We're very concerned about that. And then the last piece that I wanted to mention for the Cully neighborhood is our ongoing work led by Hacienda Community Development to develop affordable housing on the former Sugar Shack property that Living Cully was able to acquire in 2015. This bond acquisition is very exciting news for our neighborhood, and we are very eager to work with the council and with the Housing Bureau to keep that momentum rolling into the next steps for preserving affordable housing, building new affordable housing, and preventing displacement in the Cully neighborhood and across the city.
Thank you. And I have a couple questions. Commissioner Fish first.
Go ahead. Director Callahan, thank you very much for your presentation. The materials that you gave us say that there's we're planning up to, that's quote, up to 13 units of permanent supportive housing. So they'll call that the ceiling. What's the floor?
Oh, Commissioner, I don't know that I could say that there is a floor. We're looking to maximize our supportive housing wherever we can in any particular project. Each project would have supportive housing contained in it, but I think it depends on the mix of whether it's focused on families or single. So I would not be able to proffer an answer for you on that right now.
So in the context, the council has adopted with the county a very big goal of 2,000 units of permanent supportive housing.
Yes.
between now and 2027. When you come back with a development proposal, I'll be keenly interested in where we land in those numbers. And the second thing is we had prior testimony about the Sugar Shack.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think it's wonderful that we're acquiring land in Cully, in effect land banking, and allowing us to do some future development. But the Sugar Shack development site has been a top priority of this council for a long time, and it mm-hmm. goes back to when there was a strip club across from Hacienda's housing and a tremendous blight in a neighborhood that was struggling to move forward. Fortunately, the land and the building has been acquired by a number of partners, including Hacienda. But there's a gap in their financing, and one of the reasons there's a gap is the Trump tax overhaul plan has had a negative impact on our tax credit market. And this is not the first time in the last 10 years we've seen the value of tax credits come down a little bit. What assurances can you give council that we continue to be committed to helping our partners close the gap on Sugar Shack and move forward?
So, Commissioner, I myself and the mayor, staff, and mayor have all had conversations with Hacienda. I think we'd all like to find a path forward to develop the Sugar Shack. We did have initial conversations with them about bond resources, and I believe it was not the right fit for the property with the current bond restrictions. But we are releasing a notice of funds availability later this month with the direction of the mayor, and we believe that that would be a top contender for those resources.
Well, we're seeing a significant inflation in the cost of building mm-hmm. things, so that's a big cost driver. We're seeing a drop in the value of tax credits, which makes these things harder to pencil out. But Mayor, I hope that when the NOFA issues and we get a chance to look at ways we can help our friends in Cully, that we're not shy about using HIF resources, other gap resources. It is vitally important that we jumpstart this development, and it's been a council priority for a very long time. And I would be very aggrieved if this thing stalled out.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
I think you had it on the graphic, but how many two, three-bedroom units will there be?
We don't know yet. In terms of family size units with the bond, half of the bond resources are to develop family size units. With this particular property, we have not yet had a dialogue about what we think the property would be best suited for. And our first stop for that is our bond oversight committee, looking at the property itself, the makeup of the neighborhood, and the other goals that we have under the bond. Each property, we need to make sure that we're meeting our overarching goals when we reach 1,300 or greater units, that we do hit all of the other properties. Each does not look the same as each other, meaning some are slated for more slated for families. Some we look at, we'll be looking at for more individuals or couples who may live in a smaller unit and may need more supportive housing services. So we don't yet know, but we're looking forward to having that dialogue with our bond oversight committee and the Cully neighborhood as well.
So I guess similar to Commissioner Fish's discussion he just had about permanent supportive housing, mm-hmm. You know, what's the floor, what's the ceiling? Is it safe to say there will be some family size units in this development? Or
I would imagine that this would be a building that we would be looking to prioritize family size units. But again, as I have not had that conversation with our bond oversight committee, I would not be able to definitively say that or not. But yes, I think that would be our sense, is that it would be a very good site for family size units.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Does that complete your presentation, Shannon?
It does, ma'am.
Very good. Public testimony on this, Carla?
Yes. We have three people signed up. Please come on up. Our Charles Bridgecrane Johnson, David Sweet, and Edith Gillis.
And just as a reminder, people, this is both for 746 and 747, if you'd like to testify. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, my name is David Sweet. I'm the Land Use Transportation Chair for the Cully Association of Neighbors. And I'm remiss in not handing you our inclusive Cully policy, which was adopted 2.5 years ago. And it's our attempt as a neighborhood association to address the problem of displacement in Cully. I want to read you just a small portion of that. We value the economic and ethnic diversity of our neighborhood. We are aware that the economic forces that threaten that diversity by displacing many of us. We acknowledge that people of color face higher barriers to finding housing and employment and are particularly vulnerable to displacement. Improvements to our parks and transportation infrastructure and the growth and enhancement of our commercial areas, while needed and desirable, are making our neighborhood more attractive to developers, investors, and home buyers, driving up prices and exacerbating displacement. It is our vision that improvements in Cully will benefit existing residents and encourage them to remain in the neighborhood, as we also welcome and make room for new residents. It is because of that we do encourage the development of permanently affordable housing in Cully, and we're delighted to learn of this new development that will join the more than 300 units of affordable housing owned by Hacienda CDC, the many more development units that will be developed on the property formerly known as the Sugar Shack. The 59 units that's being built by a local developer in conjunction with NEA and NARA on 42nd Avenue. This is very exciting for us. And one thing we'd like to make sure of is that these affordable units do benefit people who in Cully who are at risk of displacement. First and foremost, and we hope that the Housing Bureau can find a way to reach out to folks like the residents of the Normandy apartments who are being displaced by economic forces, and we don't want to lose those folks from our neighborhood. So we urge your support for this acquisition. thank you to the Housing Bureau for looking in Cully, and please help us prevent displacement of our current residents. Thanks.
So I have to say, I've seen this statement before, and I love the Cully neighborhood, and this statement for me is a really excellent broad statement that should be applied citywide. And there's a couple of things I want to specifically call out, and I've noted this before. It's very positive. It starts out by expressing a mutual pride in the neighborhood and acknowledging the uniqueness of the neighborhood, and then going on to talk about specific action steps in terms of how to make the neighborhood or keep the neighborhood accessible and affordable and vibrant and safe and all of the things that we want to see for the city at large. And I just really appreciate the way that you and your neighbors have come together in what I think is a really positive and productive way, and you've worked with the City Council and you've worked with the Housing Bureau to help make your vision a reality. We need more of this. At times when we're struggling with the growing pains in our city and struggling with a lot of social problems, I appreciate the fact you guys push your chair into the table, you provide concrete solutions, you provide a positive vision, and you put your time and your energy and your money behind it. And we're proud to be your partners in Cully. So thank you, and please take that back to the Cully neighborhood.
I certainly
will. Really
will.
Proud of the relationship that we've developed.
Certainly will.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the many other very active and able community organizations at work in Cully that our neighborhood association works with and in support of. They're the ones pulling the laboring oars here. We'll support as best we can. But we really appreciate the Living Cully Partners, Verde, Hacienda, Habitat for Humanity, NEA, and all the others who are doing such great work in Cully.
Well, what's going on in Cully, I hope, is contagious.
Yeah.
It's just a really positive example of the community coming together to make the community work. And I'm proud to be mayor and have a community like Cully. So please call on me often. This is just one more example of what I think is the great work we can do together. Thank you. Good morning.
Hello, my name is Edith Gillis, and I would like 50 to 75% of this property be for those that are below the poverty line. I'd like us to have a diversity of types of units, studio apartments, dorm style, single rooms with a shared living space, multiple bedrooms, 4 to 6 bedrooms per unit with multiple space for multiple beds. I'd like it to be ADA, chemical sensitive, sensory adaptive, with food growing on the eaves and the green roof and area, and I'd like to have a composting toilets as an option. To pay for these extra expenses, I'd like to take it from the police budget as part of preventing crime and cop calls.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And part of the motivation behind the housing bond and this particular property in Cully is because we need to try even harder to have a city where there'll be no more Karen Lee bats killed by us. It was a very rough introduction for the mayor and his term that the city and the county and a particular judge and a particular nonprofit housing corporation murdered Karen Lee bats by hypothermia in a parking garage on 10th. Fortunately, Commissioner Fitz did mention supportive housing, but having spent time visiting people at Northwest Towers, out on Beaverton Hillsdale Highway, where there's another unit, the city needs to be clear and frequently explicit about what is the safety net for people that are on disability, struggling with mental illness, possibly causing uncomfortable situations for their neighbors, also in public and subsidized housing. How are we going to have a vision zero so that none of these people get evicted? Because that's actually what happens to an unknown percentage of our public housing residents. They're sent there, and it turns out to be a death camp. There used to be a woman who testified here frequently. She killed herself in Northwest Tower. When people go to a publicly funded university, part of the budget is set aside to do a crime report. should be a general livability report, but at least a crime report. But we don't talk honestly and openly about the challenges of keeping people struggling with mental illness and compounding that with the situation of living in public subsidized housing alive. So when we look at the great decision that's happening here in Cully, the need to move this project forward as fast as possible, we also need to not rush past the issues of how we will eventually build a system where almost no one has to get evicted from these. You know, we want to see some people are, when they get housed and stabilized, are going to be able to trend to lives that are more richer and more productive. But challenges come up, and we need to have a solution other than saying, oh, this crazy person didn't pay their $138 rent. Let's go to court and put them in eviction. There's got to be a better way. We have to talk about it often and clearly and communicate it to the people that are in need and struggling with those issues. Thank you very much.
Yes, and thank you for correctly mentioning that. And I'm pleased not only with the direction this project is taking in terms of support. The NOFA that the housing director mentioned earlier is actually going to be the first NOFA of its kind that's going to combine both the infrastructure and the housing with the mental health services needed to help people be successful in that housing and stay in that housing and be healthy in that housing. So I just want to acknowledge that I agree with what you're saying, and that is, in fact, the direction that we are moving, and we're moving there aggressively. So thank you for pointing that out.
Exactly right. We're also seeing progress with Cascadia's Garlington development.
They're great.
And,
yeah, absolutely.
But people need to know to see where they can see this in black and white, like portland.oregon.gov/smart, which y'all fixed. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks, all three of you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Creativity Watchdog. I do like this project. I like your price on this project. I like the fact you're going for the new development. Again, when we're talking the permanent supportive housing, I want it to be made an amenity in any public housing facility. But I also want to have a clear understanding, and it's the most important amenity for mental health and addiction services, must be included in every project. That means when we're building these buildings, we need to develop a certain amount of space to be utilized for that specifically. Then we need to develop ways to fund the resources for that amenity to be ongoing and geographically located through the communities, and also working alongside the Unity Center in being advised from the professionals on what they think would be advantageous in these buildings, and to work alongside of them. If something becomes very serious, they go to the Unity Center. How do we transport them to the Unity Center? This all needs to be included in the plan. Again, I prefer family size units. As you know, I prefer the 0 to 30% MFI. But again, I like this project. I like everything I see. I want to see the number of units expanded. That will stabilize overall rents, and that's what you're doing here. You're building more units, not buying season units, and just holding those units and not developing out. So I like everything on this project. Stay focused on the 0 to 30%. In my understanding, permanent supportive housing could be implemented into all these buildings for every unit if the service is needed as an amenity. Anyone should be able to use those services. Anyone should be able to use that amenity. Anyone should have a right in that building. If they are having any type of a mental health crisis, feel free to go to the professionals. We provided that amenity in this building and work alongside our professionals. That is an amenity that needs to be included. That's never been done in the city of Portland. There should be no limitations to anybody in that building wanting to use that service, that amenity, for mental health reasons, addiction services, to better themselves. So thank you.
Yeah, agreed. And the corollary of that, of course, just to be clear, yeah, Not everybody in 0 to 30% needs the supportive component either.
Like I've stated, should have the option
access,
to use it, or their relatives that visit them, or people in their units at the time that might need that assistance at the time. This is a great service to have, a great amenity, and it's kind of going into the settlement agreement plan, as you know, geographically locating, which again, that's what you're doing by doing this in working with the Unity Senator. Unity Senator. Thank you.
Yeah, good testimony. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. All right, so with that, colleagues, any further discussions or questions? Very good. Carla, could you please call the roll on item 746?
Saltzman.
Well, I want to congratulate the Housing Bureau and the CULI, all the active groups in CULI, including the Neighborhood Association, for identifying yet another site to develop affordable housing for our residents. It sounds like a great piece of property, and I'm sure it'll be a great thing we put on that property, too. Aye.
Hugh Daly.
Thank you to the Housing Bureau, and thank you to Living CULI for being such great community partners. Aye.
Fish.
I'm really excited about this acquisition. And, Mayor, I also want to just say I think you and Director Callahan have come up with a new way of talking about the bond and how we're getting money out the door, which is an improvement over how we used to communicate the progress. And it allows people to see that we are actually well on track to meeting the commitment that we made to the community. So I'm very pleased with that. We have institutionalized our thinking about permanent supportive housing. To Lightning's point, it is now embedded in all that we do in new construction and in preservation. And Lightning's exactly right, and the other testimony is exactly right, that our challenge is twofold. One is to continue to have the will to put the units aside and subsidize them. The second is to provide the services. The combination of the subsidy plus the services is approximately $15,000 a unit per year. But do the math on the 2,000 units we've committed to. We can't get there without a robust partnership with the county, with the state, and at some point with a partner in Washington. So I'm very pleased with this action and proud to vote aye.
Wheeler.
Well, I've speechified enough on this. I'm enthusiastically supportive. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Please call the roll on item 747.
Saltzman.
I also want to thank Mayor Wheeler. Also, aye.
Hugh Daly.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you, everybody, for your hard work.